Go ahead and have a seat. Find your sermon notes so you can follow along today. Discuss what you hear later on, either today or throughout the week. Most importantly, live what you hear. So there was a pastor and a taxi cab driver. So a pastor and a taxi cab driver, and they just happened to die at the same time. And so they appeared before St. Peter at the pearly gates simultaneously. Now, St. Peter welcomed the taxi cab driver, and he said, "God has prepared a place for you. Here is your palace." And he saw this vast mansion. It had perfectly manicured lawns, multiple fountains, and a whole array, an army of servants there ready to answer his beck and call. And so the pastor is getting rather excited about all of this. And so St. Peter says, "Let me show you to your place where you will spend all of eternity." And so he leads him down this narrow dirt path. And at the very end, there's nothing but this low hovel, a little shack. It is not well kept up, and it is very tiny. And so the pastor is a little taken aback, and he says to St. Peter, "You know, I spent my entire life serving your people, the people of God. And I preached every single Sunday. And I shared the good news with them. So it just seems to me that if this taxi cab driver, who gets this incredible palace and all of these servants, that I should at least get a similar kind of place." And Peter says to him, "Well, you know, up here in heaven, we give out awards solely upon what people have done. And so you preached every Sunday and you put the people to sleep. And this taxi cab driver, well, whenever he drove, people prayed." Right? So this morning, we're going to talk about prayer. Obviously, we should be praying every day. But over these next 30 days, I want you to be even more engaged than you have been in the past. Hopefully, you've heard mine now. Either you've attended one of the forums or you received your packet today, and maybe you'll read it later on. But you've heard about this ministry expansion campaign that we are embarking on right here at Emmanuel. And as we do so, I want you to bathe everything that we do in prayer so that our will be aligned with the will of God. So that everything that we do will be according to the Lord's vision and not just our plans and our dreams. So we're going to look at this passage again from the gospel in Jesus' own words. And he says these three things. He says, "Ask and seek and knock." Ask and seek and knock. He begins with this, "Ask," and then he says, "It will be given to you." So let's start asking, all right? Let's start asking for what the Lord might do. Let's ask for a new sanctuary. Let's ask for a new fellowship hall. Let's ask for all of these seats to be filled up every single Sunday. Let's ask for more children in our schools. Let's ask for more families to be touched through our upward ministry. Let's ask for the light of Jesus Christ to become real in the hearts of all the people in this community. So let's begin there. Let your request be made known to God. Now, it's true, God knows everything. But he's like that parent who wants his children to ask. You remember those of you, well, a lot of you still have children, when you go to the fast food restaurant, now we don't do this much anymore because my kids are all grown, but I remember the days, whether it was through the drive-thru or at the counter, the person would always ask you, Do you want to supersize that? So if you got the little fries, you get the ginormous fries. If you got the little drink, you got the gallon jug, right? Let's do that with our prayer. Let's supersize our prayers. Let's God-size them so that only He is the one who gets the glory. After all, if it were easy, we could do all of this on our own. But let's ask God to be at the center of all of our requests. There's an old story. It was in the book of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson. Now, the prayer, we can discuss and argue about all of that, but in the book, he talks about his five-year-old son, David. And he took him to this great park. It had all kinds of stuff. It had the old monkey bars, which, you know, we can't do anymore. And he had the swing sets that would go way up in the air. And he had all of these sliding boards, slides, small ones and medium-sized ones, and enormous slides. Now, little David, he went right to the slide, the small one. That's what five-year-olds do. You start out small, and he climbed right up the steps, and he put his little butt right down there, and he slid down, lickety-split, great time. But like a little five-year-old, you slide once, you slide twice, not so much fun anymore. He got bored. So he found the medium one. And he looks up and he goes, yeah, I think I can do that. He had some confidence. He thought he would master it. Again, climbs right up the steps, goes on down. This one has a little windy curve in it, waving to mom and dad on the way down. Lots of fun until he got bored once again. So what's left? It is the ginormous slide. And he has no fear until he gets halfway up, and then he freezes, and he's stuck. And there's this little ornery middle school kid behind him, pecking at him, saying, come on, kid, either get out of the way or climb on the way up. And so little David cries out. He says, Daddy, Daddy, I need some help. And Bruce Wilkinson says, I'm just waiting. I was just waiting for my little boy to ask for my help. And so he ran and he picked him up and he climbed to the top and he wrapped his arms around him. And they gave up a big shout of victory, and they slid down together. That's what our God wants us to do. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what's in our heart, but He wants us to cry out, hey, Daddy, I need your help. And Bruce Wilkinson then goes on to say that many of us Christians won't pray. Why? Because we have not been on the big sliding board. We've played it safe. We've been on the small ones and even the medium ones, but we stay away from the big ones because it's just too scary. Or maybe we feel like we've got this. Oh, we can do it. And so it's not until you're in the middle of the ocean and you're drowning and the waves are crashing over your head, or if you're on the big sliding board, when you freeze and you say, Daddy, I need your help. Here at Emmanuel, I would suggest that we're on the big sliding board. And we are looking at doing things that are, well, they're impossible. And why would I say that? Because 15 years ago, we had a vision to build a sanctuary. And last I looked, it's still empty out there. We had a dream to have a fellowship hall and a great gathering space. And the last I looked, we have a hallway coming into a multi-purpose building, a great facility. And yet there is so much more that I believe that God would have us do. We are truly talking about doing miracles here at Emmanuel. And we can't do it on our own. Unless you have $15 million sitting around. Like the old preacher said, we've got good news and bad news. The good news is we have the money. The bad news is it's in your pocket. Right? Hey, Daddy, we need a little help. And this is what Jesus says in our gospel for today. He says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I'd circle the faith word there. Faith as small as a mustard seed. Sometimes we think that Jesus was reprimanding the disciples for the size of their faith, but I believe that what he's telling them is, it's not the size of your faith that matters. It can be as tiny as a mustard seed. What matters is the size of your God in which you have your faith. Hey, Daddy, we need some help. And our Father is a good parent. And he provides for the needs of his children. Isn't that what every parent wants? We want the best for our children. And so Jesus says, which of you, if his or her son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Well, of course you wouldn't do that. If he asks for bread, you're not going to give him a rock to eat. If he asks for a filet-o-fish sandwich, you're not going to give him some snake or serpent or eel. I mean, even if they ask for the rock, you're not going to give it to him to eat. That's what's so wonderful about prayer. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who do what? Ask him. You see, when we pray, we're not, well, at least I hope you're not, we're not hoping to get what we want. We're hoping to get God's best. Because we know that he always wants the very best for us. So ask, Jesus says, and it will be given. And then he goes on to say, seek, and you will find. Seek, then, is to hunt. It's to pursue. It's to delve into. It's to explore. It's to try to discover. Because here's the deal. We don't always know what to pray for. Let me ask you, do you always know what to pray for? You have days where you get up and like, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. And so Paul says, do this. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't always know what we should pray for. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us according to the will of God. So really that is our prayer. Seeking is trying to find what God wants from us, but also what God wants for us. Because it's so often so much more than we could ever think that we want for ourselves. God is that heavenly parent, wants the very best for you. But sometimes it's because he also wants something from you. And make no mistake, in these next 30 days, as I encourage you to pray, we're going to be asking something from you. Every single one of you, we're going to be asking you to give give a gift so that these resources can come to fruition and we can get started on this great vision of ours. And the leaders are going to lead. They're going to go first. And as your pastor, we also right now are discussing what it is that we ought to give. So I want you to do the same. I want you to search these next 30 days. First of all, down in your heart, what are you going to do? How are you going to volunteer? Where are you going to give? But I also want you to seek out there. And so Sharon and I, we are discussing, as I hope you and your family will as well, what is it that the Lord wants us to give? And it's just between God and us, and it's just between God and you. Right now, Sharon and I can't agree. And that may be your case as well. And so you're going to discuss and you're going to pray. You see, here's the deal. In our house, I'm getting close to retirement. I don't know if you knew that or not. And I have some savings, but it's almost all in retirement accounts. I do not have any rich relatives. And so we have to decide. Because we already tithe to this church. What are we going to do? What does God want from us? But this I know, whatever it is that we decide to give, as we wrestle with these things, I know that the more that we give, the more that we serve, that is how God does something for me. And through that process, he stretches and he grows my faith. And he'll do the same for you. So seek, and you will find. And finally, Jesus says, knock. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. You see, knocking expresses determination. When we ask, we already know generally what we want. When we seek, we're trying to discover what God wants. And then in knocking, God is testing our determination. Is this truly something important? You know how it is with your children? They ask. And what happens when either you say no or you don't answer your children? Parents, what do your kids always do? They ask again, right? And if they go to mom and mom says no, what do they always do? They go to dad. Certainly in my household, because mom says no a whole lot more than dad does. And they keep on asking, and if neither one of you are around, they search for you, and they find you. Right? And then if you are hiding from them, as we often did when our children were little, and we go hide in the bedroom, and we lock the door, what do? They find you, and they knock. And you go, shh, maybe they won't hear us. Shh. And what do then? Do they quit? No, they knock harder until you unlock the door and you give them what they want. So knocking expresses determination. We had this great verse from the book of Revelation to the church at Philadelphia, but I think this could be to the church of Emmanuel in Crystal Lake. It says, behold, the angel says, I set before you an open door which no one can shut. I set before you an open door, the door of opportunity which no one can shut. I would suggest to you that our potential here at this church has never been greater not in our 154-year history, that as great as the potential that we had when we moved over from the historic campus 15 years ago, with all of that potential, with all of this land and all of the possibilities, that our potential today is even greater than it was then. It's greater than it was in 2020, just before the pandemic, when we were considering how we would go forward, when there were almost 700 people here in the building every single weekend. Because now there are almost that many people in person, but there's another 200 families every single week that tune in, that watch online, either the worship service or the midpoint. Our school has almost no more room. We have classes that have waiting lists. In a few months, as Upward comes into the building, the gym will be full. Our hallways are crowded. The potential to touch more hearts and transform more lives with the light of Christ has never been greater than it is today. And sometimes I have to admit that my prayer is this: Lord, can you make it a little easier? I'm getting toward retirement. I'm tired. I don't know how much longer I can do this.
A lot longer.
Maybe that's your prayer too. I don't know. And remember that little prayer from Jabez? I think he got it wrong. I mean, I don't want to contradict God in the Bible, but I think he got it wrong. His prayer was, speaking to God, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. I think he got it wrong. I think the prayer is this, and it's the prayer that I hope that you would pray. Oh, Lord, that you would bless us and enlarge your territory. Because that's why we're here. Not about us. Not about me. It's about all of those out there, beyond our walls, who need to come under our roof to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, to know that there truly is a mansion for every one of us waiting in heaven for those who trust in Jesus, for those who reach out and cry out, help us, Daddy. The key to all of this is not me, it's not the pastor. So we've been blessed with so many wonderful, caring shepherds over the years. And the key is not even the great programs like our school, like Sunday school, like Midpoint, like Upward, though all of those are magnificent. The key and the thing that makes Emmanuel great, what makes us unique, is that whenever that door opens, whenever the opportunity is there, we walk through it. So let's continue to walk through the door of the opportunity that God has set before us. Let me close with this. A lot of you do this as parents, especially daddies. When your children are young, and I remember when my three boys were little, Philip was about 4 and Andrew was 2 and John was just a little baby, and I would come home in the evenings from church, and they would line up at the door, and Philip would put his arms out, and I would throw him up in the air, and I would catch him, and I would set him down, and then Andrew was next, my little 2-year-old, and I would throw him up in the air, and I would catch him, and then here was John just kind of crawling over, and I would No, I didn't throw him up because my wife would have killed me. So, hugged him. And then the other ones would pull on my leg. They'd say, Daddy, do it again. Daddy, do it again. Wouldn't you just love to hold on to the heels of God and beg him, Daddy, do it again and again. The door is wide open. Possibilities are endless. As the Lord, as we align with his vision, continue to encourage people to gather under our roof for the sole purpose of going out beyond our walls to make an eternal difference. Let's do it again. Amen. This morning, Pastor Kirk is at Holy Cross in Cary, sharing the good news with the flock over there as Pastor Patterson is on vacation. And so, we will listen.